I was listening. I heard this comedian talking, and he was talking about when you go to the go places and they have you fill out those forms, and it says, "Who should you notify in case of an emergency?" He said, "How about the doctor?" Yeah, that's a good one. Have a 911, you know, in case of an emergency. Makes sense, right? All right, amen. All right, I got a good little verse for us. I mentioned this verse last Sunday, and it stuck in my head for a little while, and just thought this was a good place for us, where God would like us to go. John chapter 15, verse 1, and the Bible says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight, and we're thankful that you love us. Lord, we're thankful for the communion we have with you, the fellowship we have. Lord, we know you want us to have a complete joy, and we're thankful for that as well. I pray you speak to our hearts now. Lord, through your word, help us to understand some things, Lord, and that we can draw closer to you. Pray for those that may be here not saved. We pray that they'll see the need of calling on your name, asking for forgiveness of their sins before it is eternally too late. Have you willing way now in this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Abide in Christ, the title of the message. That's an agricultural illustration. Spring's kind of coming, and I guess most pruning's probably gotten done, or some things get pruned now, I think, but you know, certain time of year, you know, we talk about pruning, Jesus used this illustration of branches in a connection with a tree to illustrate, you know, the dependence that we would have to have with him to, you know, have a relationship, or and even have a fruitful relationship for sure. And it's, you know, it's a must thing. That's red letter edition there. You know, that's Jesus' words. It's must. It's not an optional thing. When I was in high school, I wasn't very good at math. I struggled with math, and I didn't like it, and a couple other classes. But I was a whiz in biology. My teacher, he was the football coach. I called him Coach Weaver, but he was my biology teacher also. He called me Dr. Boone. I mean, man, if nobody in the class had the answer, he'd say, "Dr. Boone, why don't you tell them what that means?" Hard to believe it. I knew I was good at biology, and I liked it. I guess if you like something, you're going to be better at it. But and I like to look at things in a microscope, man. I mean, it's cool. If I had one now, I'd probably look at it. You can look at you take a leaf and look at it, like you pluck it right off and look and see some action in there, or germs, or whatever you want to look at. And you know, you see a lot of things. And I studied the plant life. And when you look at a plant, like say a big tree out there, even there's a tree right there, and it doesn't look like much is going on, especially in the wintertime, no leaves on it. But you know, and we understand. I mean, I know I'm not telling you anything, a great revelation on how plants work, but you got the roots down in the ground, and then there's the nutrients and water comes up and it, you know, the bark after, you know, if you cut a tree across section, the way the wood is, it's almost like veins. I mean, there's stuff going up out to the leaves and it's going up and down and it's a constant thing. It's going around like that. And so there's life in there. You got in the leaves, photosynthesis, how it works with the sunlight and the way the leaves, there's a reason they're green, most of them, and the way that works. And you can see everything going, and it causes life. And if a tree is going to have a healthy tree, a good life, there has to be a constant, there's a constant flow from the roots to the branches. And a tree doesn't like have as far as that part of it goes, photosynthesis stops when the sun's not on it, but parts of it. But as far as the roots in the system, it doesn't like turn on and off. You know, it's a constant thing. If something happens, if you could turn it on and off, that tree would not be a healthy tree. It would start having some issues, some branches dying, some leaves would start to wither. And so it would be a problem. How many of you remember, now this plant here is doing pretty good. We had a different plant here a while back, a bigger one, remember that? So what happens is there's not a lot of soil, it's not getting rain from the outside, it's unfortunately dependent on us to water it, which we didn't do very well with it. If it could talk, it would be mad. But you would come in here sometimes, and that thing right there, it was just like this one, the leaves would be laid completely over the limbs down and the leaves laying on the ground. I mean, that thing looked like it was sick. And, you know, I'd run in here. If I got here early, I'd get a big cup of water and I'd dump it in there. And it wouldn't be too long. You know, it would start perking up. And probably, you know, even in just in a matter of hours, it would come up. And so, but, you know, and then if you didn't water it again later on, maybe if you forgot Wednesday night and you went to next Sunday, that thing looked like it wasn't going to, I don't know how it lived. That thing was constantly doing like that. It was going up and down, wore itself out, had real strong branches though, right? Building up its muscles. Now, a lot of Christians live their life like that other potted plant and like this one, because we're probably not going to water it any better than we did the other. They live their life like that. You know, they get disconnected from the supply, abiding in Christ, Jesus Christ Himself, either distance Himself, sin will cause it, not being in the Word, just getting distracted, getting too busy, you know, where God moves off to first place like He should. And so what happens is your spiritual life is a lot like that plant life. It's all withered and half dead looking until, you know, then you get back in the Word and then it comes back up and then you get away from God and it goes back out and it's constantly going up and down. And Jesus said, look, that's not what I want. He said, I want you to stay connected. You know, you've got to stay connected so that there's a constant flow, constant in your life. And so, you know, like, you know, I mean, we know, listen, if you get away from God, you know. And you know when you're not interested in spiritual things. And I'm telling you, there's people that have gotten away and got gone. I mean, they've gotten so far away from God. And so, if with a plant life like that, I mean, it could die from lack of water. And when you look in the text, I was studying this pretty good, and I know we don't believe you can lose your salvation, but I like this. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father's a husband. Every branch in me, and that's how, you know, that's somebody that's saved, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, which would be pruned, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, I can look at that several ways. You know, I can look at it from the church's standpoint or a Christian life, a real Christian life standpoint. Everything that's in us, and I'll talk about this later, that's not bringing forth fruit, God said, you know, listen, I'm gonna purge that and take it away. And like I said, I've talked about, you know, talked to people that said that they're saved, yet, you know, when you ask them, they're not in the Word of God. You read your Bible? Uh-uh. Listen, you're just like that plant. If you're not reading the Word of God, that's the life. You notice the Word, I noticed this when I was reading it to you. I read one of them, he says, now ye are cleaned through the Word in verse 3, which I have spoken unto you. through the Word. You know, if you're not connected to the Word of God, and I'll show you something in Jesus' prayer here in just a little bit about the Word. If you're not in the Word, all of a sudden that supply is cut off. It's got to be a constant thing. I'll give you an industrial illustration. And you wouldn't think this would matter, man, but I used to work on boilers. Boilers like heat hot water for heat and steam, or for water and heating systems in great big buildings. And there's boilers that are so big that are heating so much. An old steam train was just a boiler on wheels. You know, they had to stop and put water in them, and they threw wood and coal in there, and they got a fire going. It made steam. There's boilers that are so big that there's a constant water feed going to those boilers that if you accidentally shut the water off just for seconds, I mean, alarms are going off, and it's a big emergency if that water stops just for any amount of time. It's a big emergency. And really, this is what Jesus is trying to say to us. You know, if this supply from me, from my word, if you're not vitally connected to me, then you'll die. You know, you'll die spiritually in that sense. And so a lot of people not in the Word, not praying, yeah, but, you know, they think, and like I said this morning, apart from the Word of God, you have no relationship with Jesus Christ. Apart from prayers, you have no relationship with Jesus Christ. The lifeblood of the Christian is the Word of God in prayer. That word abideth in this verse, it's mentioned 9 times in the verses I read to you. And actually, it's referred to 2 more times in another word. And it's talking about a union or a communion with God. And abiding in Christ, it has something to do, or it affects our communication with God. And it also affects our walk with the Lord. You know, you have to abide in Christ to walk with Him. It's abiding in Christ is a living union, a loving union, and a lasting union. Now, there's a lot of illustrations of a union in the Word of God. And one of them is, he used this, in talking about the church, he talked about, and which is really in Christ, he talks about the body. Okay, here we are, we're living beings. Right? Everything's... But if you cut your finger off, throw it down there on the ground, is it now alive or is it dead? Instantly? I don't know. Just come to me. There's not blood flowing through it, right? Not any blood flowing through it. Now, there'd be some cells. Huh? He put it back on. Okay, so hang in there. Better off if you hadn't have done that, though. But, you know, there's probably some cells that are still living and all that. But how long will it live? You only got a certain amount of time. I've read, you know, like if you knock your tooth out or you cut your finger off, you're supposed to wrap it up in a cold towel and haul it to the hospital, get them stick back on. They might get it to work and probably never works as good as it did before. But it's not long, it's dead. How long can you cut yourself off from God and be spiritually alive? You know, it just won't. What'll happen is, and if it lays there long enough, anything, your hand, your arm, if you want to go bigger body parts, you cut your hand off, you cut your arm off, it lays there long enough, it starts shriveling up, it's going to rot, it's decay, it's dead, it's gone. It's no good. And so there's an illustration there of that. That's the same thing. There's body parts that we can cut off. We can live without them. Can't cut your heart off. Can't cut your heart out. Can't cut your brain out. Can't get it. You know, there's other body, but I don't know all the medical things, but there's things you can't do live without. See, Jesus is saying, look, I'm the vine and you're the branches. That the vine would be the main trunk. You know, the main trunk. So they're the main part and the branch, where the branches at here. These arms and legs and hands and all that has to have the heart, the lungs. Can't live without your lungs. There's another one. It's got to have that. You've got to have Jesus Christ. You have no spiritual life apart from Him. Another one, he used an illustration of the bride and the bridegroom. Jesus Christ illustrates His relationship to His church with the bride and the bridegroom. When you're married, you have a union, but then you have to, in daily love and devotion, maintain that communion in a marriage. You have to do that. And it's the same way, like when we're saved, listen, you're saved if you're really saved. But there's still a communication and a communion. That's why I say, I don't like to say salvation too much, use that, because people think of that one-time act. Man, listen, you come down to the altar and you say, oh, Jesus, I want you to forgive me of my sins, and whoopee, I'm saved, get baptized, and then you go home, and now all of a sudden you're never going to read your Bible, you're never going to go to church, you're never going to pray. You got a relationship with Jesus Christ? That'd be like saying, well, you know, when you get married, woo, go on the honeymoon, come home on the honeymoon, you go live somewhere else, and your spouse is living somewhere else, you never see each other again, you got a marriage there? Now, you don't have one. You have no relationship. And so he says that, you know, he uses that illustration for us and him. And then sheep and shepherd is another relationship. Now, sheep in a pasture don't need this. I mean, if they're in a fenced-in area, they don't have to have the same thing. But they didn't have them in those days. And so, what you know, sheep wandered around, and they had, sheep are like, you know, I used to, you know, sheep are not like protective animals. You know, anybody ever got bit by a sheep? I don't think they, I don't know if they bite, got attacked by a vicious sheep. They're not, you know, they need protection, they need provision. Shepherds would lead them to the pastures, lead them to the water. There's a connection between the shepherd and the sheep. Had to have it. Had to have it, otherwise those sheep would be in trouble, you know, real big trouble. So, you know, abiding in Christ involves some things. The Word of God, certainly. Prayer, definitely. Confession of sin that takes hindrances away. Obedience, and that involves love. All those things go in together. So we have to abide in Christ. Now, probably all of us knew this already, but I want to get to this point. These are the main points. How do we know if we're abiding in Christ? How do we know that? Well, there's evidences of abiding. The very first thing we see is fruit. Look what it says in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. This is it. Now, God says, listen, if there's a branch and it's not bearing any fruit, there's something wrong with it, right? Now, if there's a person that's claiming they're a Christian and they're not bearing any fruit, there's something wrong with them. There's no life in it. The dogwood trees we planted out there several years ago, a couple of them got there. I looked at one time and it was just a dead branch on them. What's it doing? Well, a dead branch, you know, it's a dangerous thing. You can saw off or cut off a dead branch. You never notice it doesn't hurt the plant. It doesn't hurt the plant any. Nothing's going to go on. And there's a person. And so that we may think that. I want to use this illustration here. I'll get back to that in just a second. But God says, listen, if there's a dead branch on a tree, the reason that you cut it, number one, it could have disease. It could be decay, cause rot, and it gets in the way. It's sticking up in there where other life could grow, you know, and produce, like if you have an apple tree or something. It's in the way of that. It hinders it. You got to get all the dead branches out of the way so that the other branches can produce more fruit. So God said, listen, and we go back to our life. Listen, if we've got stuff in our life that's dead stuff that's unspiritual, you know, stuff that God wouldn't want us to have in our life that's interfering with our spiritual side growing, God said, listen, if you're in me, I'm going to purge that out of there. I'm going to cut it off. I'm going to get it rid of. I'm going to get it out of, you know, out of there so it'll get out of the way so that we can have, fruit that would grow. Now, sometimes, and I think that would picture, I look at this way, that dead branches. That's just flat out sin in our life. That's sin. God said, listen, you got sin in your life. I'm going to cut that out. I'm going to purge it. But sometimes people that know what they're doing, and if you know how to prune, you have to do, especially fruit trees, you have to do this. You have to cut living branches. My great-grandmother had some old apple trees on her property, and they hadn't been pruned, and who knows when, probably Moses or Noah or somebody probably pruned them last time, you know. They were old. And they had a lot of apples on them, but there wasn't an apple no bigger than my thumb on there, right? So it had a lot of fruit, but it wasn't good. I mean, they weren't good apples. They weren't big apples. The only way you get good apples is you got to prune a lot of stuff back, get it down so it produces bigger and better fruit. Now, what I like to look at it like this, that sometimes when the vine dresser pruned that living tissue, I mean, now there's a scar, there's a wound there. You know, you have to fix the tree, you have to take care of it. certain, you know, however you do with certain kinds of trees. But I think it pictures this in the life of the believer, that sometimes God, He prunes stuff out of our life that of itself is not it's not a sinful thing, but it's still something that's interfering with your growth in Christ. And you know, really, most a lot of Christian folks are like this. I know we're not sinless, I understand that. But a lot of Christians are like this. You go, you know, you examine their life. They're not living in gross sin and got a lot of major sins going on. But the average Christian has this problem. They got a lot of other stuff going on in their life that of itself is not sin, but it also is hindering their growth in Jesus Christ. It's something else that's getting in the way. We're living in a distracted world. I mean, Brother Dwayne was talking about when he preached on Friday, he said that we was living in a confused world, and we are. We're living in a distracted world. Man, I mean, we got so many things going on. You know, the social media is buzzing. Man, the kids are doing this and that and going up and down. You know, God says, sometimes I'm like, I got to prune some of this stuff out of your life because it is actually interfering with my relationship with you. Listen, if you're too busy for God, you are too busy. You are too busy, and I've got to get it out of your life. And so there's a pruning that takes care of there, because listen, if you're abiding in Christ, there's going to be fruit. I said, you know, and didn't reiterate this, but he said there was fruit, and even more fruit on much fruit. That was the other term. There was three kinds. There was fruit. There's more fruit, and there's much fruit. And sometimes God's got to prune the good to get to the better, and sometimes He's got to prune the better to get to the best. That's just the way it has to work in our life. He's trying to get more fruit. And so evidence, if you're abiding in Christ, there's going to be fruit in your life. More, better, you know, best. It's going to go like that. And so when he prunes, that's the whole point. He gets this out of there. And that would be anything that interferes with our communion with God. He's got to prune that. Somebody said about pruning grapes. My great-grandmother, same way, she had a grapevine too, now that I think about it. Had a trellis thing that was kind of wide, came up about this high, might have been 6 foot, ran up the hill there that way, and then had another end on it. Maybe it went from here to the end of this thing, and the grapevine grew on that thing. And it had tons of grapes. They were real small, though. They weren't bad on taste-wise, but they were small and purple. But the thing was what it needed. If you've ever seen, now they grow a lot of grapes around here and up in Northern Virginia, they grow them, all these people crazy about wine making and all that. You ever seen a grapevine that somebody, has commercially pruned that thing to grow grapes? That's about an ugly looking vine. I mean, it looks like they done pruned it literally to death. I mean, there's like a vine this big around, and it don't have 5 leaves on it and 10 foot of vine. But wait till the grapes come out. See, farmer said it like this. You can either have a whole lot of pretty leaves, or you can have a whole lot of beautiful grapes, but you can't have them both. Huh? And to think the leaves aren't worth anything. See, and so a lot of our lives, you know, we're living our lives, we got all these leaves, because we're producing all that. We don't have any fruit as far as what God is concerned with. That's a key thing. And if you go out in the woods, they got wild grapes. You ever seen them wild grapes? If you like grouse hunting, they like them. Bears like them. About everything likes them. Deer will eat them. Turkeys. But them things are like a pea. They ain't even big as a pea. Not very big. Not very good as far as we're concerned. Animals like them. But they're not like the grapes that you grow. You know, because those are things are wild. They're not, nothing's taking care of them. Nobody's pruning them. Nobody's digging the earth around there. It's the same way with our Christian life. Listen, God prunes anything that robs us of a relationship with Him, and should. And for us, see, sometimes pruning is a painful thing. Because like I said, most time in our life, the stuff that God has to prune some live tissue, He got to prune some things that are in our life that not necessarily sin, but they are interfering with our relationship with God. And so you've got to do that. So there's an evidence right there. Evidence that you're abiding in Christ is, number one, you're producing fruit. There's some kind of spiritual fruit. Some more, some less. You may be up and down with that, but you're producing something spiritual in your life. Producing some, and I'll, you know, tell you about that a little bit more. And then also that God is pruning us. God is taking care of us. A vine dresser, He's doing that. And then we see this. Here's another thing. There's a deepening love, the third thing, a deepening love for Christ and other believers. A deepening love for Christ and other believers. Look in verse 9. It says, "My Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." Now this is right in the midst of all this talk about vine, dressing the vine, pruning the branches. He said in verse 9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." There's a command. That means that we may not automatically do that. Verse 12 says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." And in verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." You know, a deepening love. This is why I like to say, well, how do you know you're saved? Well, you go to the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Right? Galatians 5:22. Is that something that's starting, is increasing in your life? You know, love, joy, peace. Is those things, is that increasing in your life? Love, you know what love does? Love produces obedience. Love produces obedience. That's how it's supposed to work. We're not supposed to be obedient out of fear. Love should be producing it. That's a sign of salvation. You know, we ought to have love for the lost. We ought to have a concern for lost people. We ought to have love for His church. We ought to have love for God's people. I mean, that's just something that would continue. Love for His Word. Love for the Word of God. Looking over here, look at John. Look in chapter 17. I'm going to show you something. John chapter 17. I was debating about doing this or not. Let me see if I got time to do it. Let me do this. You know, a lot of times we think about the Lord's Prayer. We say, oh, you know, recite the Lord's Prayer. What we call the Lord's Prayer is not the Lord's Prayer. What we recite is an outline. The disciple said, teach us how to pray. He said, well, I'll give you an outline right here. Here is Jesus praying, and I want you to listen closely to what He said, and I'm going to go over a couple of verses. It says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said." Now, here it is. Here's His prayer. And as I'm reading along, I want you to notice what He's not saying, or what He's not praying for, and notice what He is praying for. He said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self and with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifest Thy name unto men which Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. I pray for them." I love that verse right there. "I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. And all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to Thee. Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, as they may be one as we are." There's a good salvation security verse right there, because if we've been given, if Jesus is praying that God keeps us, guarantee you God's going to keep us, right? "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to Thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that Thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldest keep them from the evil. That they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. As Thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me, and I in Thee, and they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And the glory which Thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that Thou hast sent me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, and that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me before thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and I will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You know, one thing I noticed right there, I mean, Jesus didn't mention a hangnail, a bad liver, a kidney, or a lung, or nothing. Did you notice that? I mean, everything he had to talk about was being glorifying us, praying that our joy might be fulfilled, thanking God that he was able to fulfill the purpose that God sent him down here for. And I underlined some things in there just to reiterate and a kind of emphasis. I looked up the word there. He says in verse number 6, he says, and they have kept thy word. In verse 8, he says, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. In verse 9, he said, I pray for them. Verse 13, he said that that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I like that. And then in verse 14, I have given them thy word. Verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And in verse 26, it says that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. There's that abiding verse right there. Look how often he prayed that Jesus, number one, that Jesus himself pray. That a lot of people, a lot of Christian folks think they don't have a need to pray. But Jesus felt like he had a need to pray. Crying out loud, if Jesus felt a need to pray, you and I have a need to pray. But look how many times he mentioned the Word of God. You don't think you need to read your Bible? And Jesus spoke over and over and over again about the Word of God. He said, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word is truth. He said, this Word is truth. I've given it. He said, and they've got that Word. I mean, man, listen, it's something not to neglect. You can't abide in Christ without prayer and the Word of God. And you know, because it's you're disconnected, and you're like that plant we were talking about at the beginning. So there's a deepening love for Christ, a deepening love for other believers. And I like that he said, the next evidence that you're abiding in Christ is joy. In joy. Chapter 15, verse 11, he said, the text I read, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. Now, buddy, that is the joy of Jesus might remain in us and that our joy might be full. And then in chapter 17, verse 13, his prayer. Here's Jesus praying. This is what he wants. He says, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. He says, I'm coming to thee. I'm speaking it in the world, that your joy might be full in yourself. That's what he wants us to have. He wants us to be joyful. If you're a Christian, you can't be joyful apart from Christ. I don't think that plant down there was happy when its leaves was all laying down on the ground. Huh? I don't know if it's a happy plant or not, but if it is, it's not happy when it's wilted, right? It's happy when it doesn't produce fruit when it's wilted either. And so we see joy. He wants us to have that and abide in him. Because he knows, listen, he wants us to have an abundant life, not a joyless existence. That's what he wants for us. You know, that's how you know that you're abiding in Christ. It's an impossibility. We had an apple tree and a pear tree in our front yard when we lived over there across from Root. And one spring came around, and the apple tree had blooms and blossoms and had leaves on it, and the pear tree just stayed looking like it was winter. Guess what? Pear tree was dead. It was dead, died. And the apple tree had, and maybe, and if you don't know your trees in the wintertime, you can look at both of them. You didn't know which one's which. But in the spring, you know how I knew which one was apple tree and which one was a pear tree? One of them had apples, one of them had pears, right? Real, that was a tough one, right? You could pass biology class if I was. That's how you know. How do you know a person saved? How do you know a Christian? It's not because they say it. Because there's fruit in their life that is produced in their life. And all those things, you know, there's fruit. I mean, there's the works of God. I mean, people winning people to Christ and serving God out of love and having joy. Listen, you can't fake that kind of joy that you have. There's other things that come up in your life too. peace. There's peace. God wants us to have peace. He wants us to have, and you know, it's amazing that he talked about joy, that he wants us to have joy. So many people in the world think, oh, listen, Christians, y'all ain't having fun. Oh, huh? You know, you think you're not having fun, that you're not, you know, if you're not doing things like you're not drinking and drugging and whatever you're doing, running around, trying to have, you know, having a good time, and they think you're not having, and Jesus said, listen, I'm praying that you'll have joy. He's praying for you to have joy. Listen, you're going to have it if you abide in Him. If you abide in Him when you're walking with Him. Abiding. You know, it demands some things. I mentioned prayer. I mentioned in the Word, worship. To abide in Christ, we have to worship God. It demands sacrifice. We sacrifice and service. You know, that question, are you abiding in Christ? It's a vital thing that you have to have. Remember, you can't abide apart from the Word. You have no relationship with Jesus Christ apart from His Word. You can't be saved apart from His Word. You can't live for God apart from His Word. You can't have a relationship apart from prayer, because God speaks to us through His Word, and God speaks to us through His prayer, through prayer life. You know, He talks to us, and we talk to Him. It's communicate, meditation. There's a meditation aspect. Sometimes we just want to talk to God all the time. How about letting God talk to you? And let God talk to you. That's what I do with that first cup and a half of coffee in the morning. Yeah. Let God talk to me. You know, just say something to me. And then, you know, I look at my devotion books. Then I pray. Then I read my Bible. That's how that goes. Are you abiding in Christ? I want to ask you those things. We get ready to pray. Y'all stand. We'll